Signed, where it's Tape Ministry Queensland. It's now Monday evening, the 16th of July, 1984, and we're at the Church of St. Andrew in Tripoli for the Mothers Union Provisional Conference. This is the opening service.
22, verses 1 to 6. At that time, Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have observed all the commands of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and you have obeyed me in all the commands that I too have laid upon you. All this time you have not deserted your brothers. Up to this day you have diligently observed the charge laid on you by the Lord your God. And now that the Lord your God has given your brothers security as he promised them, you may turn now and go to your homes in your own land, the land which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan. But take good care to keep the commands and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to conform to his ways, to observe his commandments, to hold fast to him, to serve him with your whole heart and soul." Joshua blessed them and dismissed them, and they went to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time Jesus declared, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. church in heaven may offer up one sacrifice of thanksgiving to the praise and honour of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who didst gather round yourself your holy apostles, and didst teach them the things concerning the kingdom, grant that all those who come together to this conference may desire to be taught of you, and to learn those things which you desire to impart to us. Give us the open ear and the willing mind. Clear our thoughts of all prejudice. Remove all hindrances to the glad acceptance of your will. And train us in all godliness of life, that we may be further equipped to serve you and glorify your holy name, who is the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end.
Of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. May I first of all extend a welcome to you all to this service this evening, particularly to those who have travelled some distance to be here at the conference and at this service. and to those who haven't come quite so far, as I look at you all as one conference, one group in unity of purpose, I hope that these few words which now follow may serve to begin your thinking one with the other, and also perhaps to confirm your conference theme, about which I think I'd like to say these words tonight and congratulate those who were responsible for its creation. The theme, you'll remember, is love, learning, leadership. Love, learning, and leadership. There's an apocryphal story, which means it isn't absolutely true, which says that when Jesus returned to heaven, having completed his task here upon earth, he was met in great joy by several of the angels, who were anxious to hear how things had gone. Jesus told them, and the end of his story was that he'd left behind upon the earth 11 apostles, who were now to continue his ministry and to found his church. The angels were pleased and somewhat confused. So they said to the Lord, "That plan sounds all right, but your apostles are only human. Suppose they fail, what is the second plan?" And Jesus replied, "There is no second plan." While that story, perhaps not literally true, does reflect for us something which must have been much in the mind of our Lord himself concerning the leadership value and quality of those whom he left behind here upon earth. After all, they were simple souls, coming from a wide variety of differing backgrounds, not well educated, not equipped emotionally either to begin this major task, and not all that brave, for hadn't they fled on the night in which he was betrayed and arrested? It's an interesting thing, therefore, to see how this leadership, so necessary for the life of this new church and its development, began to grow. It's interesting for us, because you can see this growth of leadership through the conferences which the early church held. And perhaps what they did and said may be of value to you. The Acts of the Apostles tells us that there were a number of such conferences. Three only will do to help us tonight. The first wasn't really a conference at all. You can read about it in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. It really was just a gathering of those who were left behind. And they waited in this upper room, as it was called. Almost incidentally, as they were there, they elected somebody to take the place of the traitor Judas, almost as though it was just something to do, because all they were about was just being in that one place, just being there. What in fact they were doing, really, was learning a very valuable lesson, which is the very foundation of leadership, and that is a true understanding of what love is. Love is one thing which can never be forced. It can never be bought. It has to be understood. All that you can do if you love is make your gesture, make your offering of love towards another, and wait for the response. The second part of that cannot be forced or hurried. You make your offering and you must wait. Wait in expectancy, but wait. The down and out who sits at Central Railway Station all day watching trains coming in and going out is really not waiting at all. But a person who comes to the same station expecting the arrival of a dear friend on the 4:13 from Corinda is in fact waiting with a different sort of expectancy altogether. And that's what I mean by waiting in love. Waiting with that expectancy. And as the disciples so assembled waited, they began to learn the real meaning of love. We know this because shortly after, a further conference was convened, and with this new sight, with this new understanding of love, they began to perceive that for quite some time now, there had been in their little community a group of ladies who had not been noticed. These were widows who had lived for a long time away from Jerusalem and who consequently had spoken for most of their lives the Greek language and not the Hebrew. And they'd come now back to Jerusalem in their widowhood and become Christians. And there they were in the group and no one took any notice. Suddenly, with the new eyes of real love, they began to see this need. And we're told that this conference created a special group of people to care for them, called deacons. Because they had begun to learn leadership, having understood the first foundation of it, namely, love, which expresses itself in a newfound need and action. Well, the second conference. The second conference is in Acts chapter 11. And the early church is under a new sort of challenge. You must appreciate, of course, that all the first Christians were Jews. They went faithfully to the synagogue, say, on Saturday, and attended the Eucharist on Sunday. They were members of both churches, very happily. Suddenly, Simon Peter arrives, coming hot haste from Joppa and Caesarea, and he tells this little group of practicing Jews, practicing Christians, that the Spirit of God had moved him to go with certain men from a house, people who were Gentiles, and there he found Cornelius. He, with his family, had a need which he wanted healed by not one of his own confreres there, but, as he'd been told in a vision, by this Peter. And Peter remarked, "I went and spoke with them, and," he said, "the Holy Spirit truly was upon him." What then must you do, therefore? What attitude must the church have to these Gentiles? Must they be accepted? A test indeed. And so the conference met. And perhaps as the conversations unrolled, one or two people had their minds taken back to the gospel, which we read tonight, where Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I wonder whose wisdom it was that put those words above the entrance to the chapel at St. Francis College. It's in Latin, which is a challenge to the students to understand what is, in fact, the best language of all anyhow. But they should understand not only the language, but its meaning, for that certainly becomes the very basis and the strength of any ministry. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." When Jesus said those words, of course, he was thinking perhaps of his own home, where you had a little family living in humble circumstances, surrounded by the children, but next door, a part partitioned off for the family ox. You put him in there not because you didn't want him to get stolen or because it was too cold outside. You wanted him there because he had to be part of the family. And the reason why that was so is because come next morning, when you go out into your paddock to begin to plough your field, you can have your great yoke in your hand, made by the carpenter of the village. Certainly you can have that, but you won't get it on your ox unless he accepts it. There's no yard, you can't tie him down, there are no farm workers to help. He must accept the yoke, or you'll plough nothing. So maybe that illustration struck home, and those who were present at that conference saw the value and the importance of acceptance in leadership. Acceptance of people who, of course, are fellow pilgrims, that's all they are, as we go through life. Acceptance of their opinions, their faults, their tempers, their failings, their good things, their joy, and their sorrow. All this, born up in this newfound love, becomes stage two of leadership. And of course the quotation goes on and says, learn of me. Not from me, but of me. This means that with the advantage of time and history and the opportunity to look back upon the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ, you are able to learn of Christ not only what he did, but why he did what he did, what motive was behind what he said, in fact, to allow his very being to stand so close to your being that the two are almost inseparable. He gave the clue, did he not, when he said, I and the Father are one. That's why I do miracles. That's why I heal. That's why I rise from the dead. I and the Father are one. And if I learn of Christ, then I stand so close to Christ that virtually my words, my life, my being is that of Christ himself. It's interesting at this conference to note that when all that had been discussed and talked about, it says just quietly, and then there was a pause. Then there was a waiting. The speeches were finished and nothing happened. Because they'd learnt, obviously, that in love and understanding you must wait. And then they decided that Peter was right and the Gentiles indeed should be accepted. Love plus learning. Well, let's put that to the test in a final conference from Acts. Acts 15 is the story of the famous Council of Jerusalem. Here's another great question at issue. This time, it's not whether Gentiles were to be accepted, but whether they were to be welcomed as real church members. Now, all this seemed to fly very much in the face of what we heard in our first lesson tonight, how the law was the law of Moses, given by God to God's chosen people. Therefore, it was his law. They were to keep it because they were his. Well, these Gentiles, you see, want to be Christians from whatever background they came. The question was it necessary, therefore, for them first to become Jews, to be in the right relationship with the lawgiver, before they then went on to become Christians? And the Gentiles didn't want to do that. They wanted to be Christians, not Jews. And you can see the great problem. If you had said, no, you can go straight ahead and be a Christian, the danger was that you'd finish up with two sorts of Christian churches. The Gentile Christian church, which had never been Jewish, and the Jewish Christian church, which was both. This really was a test of leadership. What answer were they going to give to prevent that fraction, right at the very beginning of the church's history? Well, you can read what they decided, but it's fairly obvious that because they had learnt the lesson well in an understanding of the real meaning of love, and because they had seen this real learning produced through acceptance and through understanding and through waiting, there was produced a solution of great compassion, of clear wisdom, and something which was very Christ-like in its appearance. In fact, you could say that when you read the result of the Council of Jerusalem, the mind of Christ had come to his church. Leadership was present indeed. Love plus learning equals leadership. Well, ladies, you have come here at some expense, at some inconvenience over long distances, many of you, to make your mark upon this very important conference and to grow in the faith. Could I suggest to you that you, during the course of these precious days, have a similar sort of pattern to follow? Whatever be the program, you have got to learn, have you not, ever more deeply and ever more truly, what is the essence of love and the value of waiting. Waiting upon the Lord and waiting upon each other. you've got to relearn, perhaps, what is the real meaning of the word acceptance, and then to express your acceptance in compassion. And when all that becomes part of your very being, your very life, your very nature, then the mind of Christ has come to your conference, and the mind of Christ has become yours. May God be with you during these days and forever in this which is your only great Christian endeavour. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Unto God's grace, mercy, and protection, I commit you. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, learning of God, and leadership of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you, and remain with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
This now concludes the opening service of the Mothers' Union Conference.